Tony looked at me funny when I said, start your engines, turn the key, or push the button at the top of the hour. And you know what? That might have to become the opening, because we are changing the way we approach cars, both in their design and the way we think about them. I've been talking about this for a while. If you recall, 2 weeks ago, I went to a Chrysler class, and we were talking about volumetric efficiency and calculated load testing and the way that we're going to be working on cars in the future. And our next guest, as we have a conversation about this, who knows, maybe we'll be talking about voltage drop testing automobiles, because our next conversation is going to be one that, well, you're going to really enjoy this. Matt Good from Iowa State University, the Iowa State University electric car program, is going to be joining us right now. And he's here to talk to us about, well, solar-powered cars. Matt, are you there, sir?
Yeah, Ron, I'm on the line.
You know, you guys are out there today with this vehicle, correct? Rolling around Iowa?
That is correct. So 8 days ago, Prism, as we like to call ourselves, just unveiled the world's first solar utility vehicle. So this is a four-seat solar car. It's 100% powered by the sun, and it also has plug-in capabilities. So that way, just in case it starts raining or, you know, the sun goes down, you still have that 170 miles to get you home at the end of the day.
Staggering. You know, you sit here, and I'm listening to what you're saying, and the first thought that went through my mind is a four-person sustainable solar car. And I just had this vision of the oil and gas industry going bye-bye. it's going to happen, and I hope I live long enough to see this. You know, I always think back to when the horse was the mainstay of transportation, and I wonder how quick it happened, where the horse went away and everything went to cars. And I'm looking for that next evolution. And this is the kind of conversations that we have with people that, you know, here's what you're doing. You're creating that next evolution. You're going to a four-seat, a real car, you know.
Exactly.
You know,
kind of when you look at the history of cars, you know, back in the turn of the century, it was a three-way competition between steam, electric, and gas. And the only reason gas was able to win out was it was a little bit easier. And, you know, once the horses went away, there was no more water for your steam cars. So I think that we're finally getting to the point where electric cars are the next solution, and then the step after that is going to be solar electric cars.
Right.
So as a team of students, that's kind of what we wanted to set out to do and try to change the paradigm of transportation.
Let me, and you could very well do it. Let me ask you, I have two questions. The first thought's off the top of my head. Whatever happened to, and I don't know if you'll know this, but, you know, I always wondered why we don't see more hydrogen fuel cell vehicles. Is it because of the infrastructure to build to support that? Is the expense too high?
So I'm definitely not an expert on the subject, but I do know that it does take a large amount of energy to produce the hydrogen, or at least with the current manufacturing processes. So in order to kind of switch that over, it just takes a little bit of infrastructure to do that. But I don't know why there hasn't been that shift. So it's a great question, yeah.
And then my other question was, and I'm not trying to be a wise guy, so you've got a four-seat solar-powered car, and I guess you've got four people in this vehicle driving around Iowa this weekend.
Yep.
And it's obviously, this is a daytime car. You're not driving this at night.
Well, we do some night driving, because we do have headlights on and brake lights. It's a DOT street-legal car.
And that was my question. Do you have headlights on this? And I guess, you know, and then how do we get around? So if the concept of solar power cars is, it works, the technology works, and what you guys are doing, you know, becomes the next shift, how are we going to drive at night?
Well, I think that's the whole aspect of having our battery pack inside the car. So how I think about it is, it's basically an electric car, and then you have a generation system on top of the car. So you have your solar cells on top. So as your battery technology continues to advance, you know, you're going to be seeing larger and larger range out of a vehicle without increasing the mass any. So by the time you slap some solar cells on top, now you're just continuously recharging those batteries. So if you just drive to work and keep it parked outside all day, your car is going to recharge itself. But the coolest thing is, once that car is done recharging itself, if your car is plugged into your workplace, you can run your workshop off of your car that's sitting outside in the parking lot.
So you could be a carpenter with your cordless drills, and you could work on the side of the road. Is that what we're thinking about? I'm being serious. I mean, exactly.
That's what I really see out of this. And let's say the power goes out of your home, well, you could just plug your electric car into your house and then run your house off your car. So you no longer need to have a gas generator or anything like that also.
You know,
so
read...
You really...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You know, I read somewhere a couple of years ago, the conversation was that, you know, the idea of changing the whole fleet over to an other than gasoline vehicle isn't really what they want. What the industry is trying to do, if they said if we could change 10% of the amount of American vehicles on the road over to an other, you know, an alternate, electric or, you know, a solar electric vehicle, etc., you would see the price of gas under $1 a gallon because the demand would be so low, it would just take the pressure off in such a tremendous way. You know, and the numbers above 10% just start forcing some rapid changes, both in political in nature in terms of, you know, who holds all the cards, and both in terms of economic pressure, you know, who's got all the power. So, you know, this really is cutting edge stuff, what you're doing here. Does the car have air conditioning? I'm just curious.
So right now we have basically a force cooling system. So in the front of the car, we have vents that'll take in ambient air from the outside and force it into the driver's face. But we are looking at different ways that we can air condition the inside. So right now it's still a concept vehicle.
Right. And then from here, now, for lack of a better way to put it, these are students, right? You guys are engineers at Iowa State University?
So we're not just engineers. So 2 years ago, this was a blank sheet of paper. So in 2 years, we went from $0 in our account. We're a nonprofit, and we went from a blank sheet of paper to the finished car that you see that's driving on roads. And right now, we're doing a 99-county tour of Iowa, kind of bringing it out to all sorts of different people, all sorts of different communities, showing it off. And then this fall, it's going to race across the continent of Australia. So we'll actually be starting in the north coast of Australia and driving to the south coast, right through the Stuart Highway and right through the middle of the Outback.
What does the car weigh, David?
Or Matt, it only weighs 960 pounds.
Okay, a curb weight by itself. So
exactly.
with four people in it, what, 200 pounds a person, it may top out close to 2,000 pounds.
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay. And then what are you doing for, you know, four tires and a spare? I mean, do you look at all that? And then how much luggage can it hold? Or is it, you know, how much of a concept is this at this point?
So on the inside, we have enough room to actually, the car is big enough so you can put your skis in there if you want to go skiing on the weekend. Also, if you want to go camping, you can easily fit your tent and camping gear on the inside. Right now, when we go to an outreach event, we actually put all of our free T-shirts, sunglasses, and stuff like that in our back hatch. Then we have our four members hop into the seats. Then we turn the car on, turn on our infotainment system so we can listen to music as we cruise up and start driving the car.
How much of what you're doing do you think is for the benefit of the motoring public here on this planet versus do you think, you know, does the space program come along in 5 years and look at the technology you're developing and they take it with them to the stars? Do you ever think about that?
Well, I think the coolest thing is we're affecting a lot of different markets in very different ways. So, like, we're using the same materials that our aircraft are made out of. We're using carbon fiber, you know, we're using fiberglass molds. And then on the electronic side, we're making super high-efficient electrical systems. So we're kind of working, you know, with the same systems that cell phones are using a couple years down the road. We're using the same sort of radio technology that we'll be communicating with a couple years down the road. And like you said, you know, vehicle-wise, we're kind of making that next step a vehicle also.
Right.
So the vehicle, I believe, will be impacting several different markets. Just like when, you know, that new product comes out, it kind of has shockwaves that ripple into other markets.
Yeah, I think, you know, have you seen the movie The Martian?
Yes.
Right.
Yep, great movie.
Right. Do you know, I look at that movie, and one of the things about that movie that I really enjoyed was the technology in it reminded me of what people like you and your team are doing today and developing. Because that was a solar-powered rover that he had. And, you know, you're not that far off the mark. And, there's another Edison in you guys, if you know what I'm saying. And you guys are just reinventing the wheel, so don't stop by any stretch of the imagination. From a mechanic side, I'm a mechanic 43 years, I'm still going to class. How are we going to get guys to fix this? They can't fix internal combustion engine cars. You know,
sure.
You know, and I mean... And that's got to be part of this thought process, too, the practicality of how do you now get a market of this and an infrastructure support team of this set up, too. That's an enormous undertaking.
Yeah.
You know,
So we're approaching the problem by almost how Tesla does the wireless updates to their cars. We have a telemetry system on the inside that's hooked up to our computer. So actually anyone sitting inside the car can access all the diagnostics of the vehicle. So by just hitting a couple buttons on the touchscreen located in the center of the vehicle, they can figure out if it's throwing an error code, what that error code may be. Then from there, they can either contact, let's say that we go into business and we have a sales representative somewhere, you know, they could contact them. Or if there's a mom and pop shop down the road, they should be able to contact them.
Wow.
Because electric vehicles will need some maintenance. Like, let's say sensors go out, you know, these newer vehicles, you always have some sort of sensor going out somewhere. So there'll still be some sort of demand for someone to come and fix it. And we try to simplify all the systems so as students, you know, we could still fix it. Because we're still going to class at the same time. We're still learning. So complex systems typically fail for us. So we try to keep everything really simple on this vehicle.
Wow. You guys are just turning the world on its ear. Matt, if the listeners want more information, if they want to donate, if they want to support this endeavor, how do they go out and find out more about you guys?
So I'd say feel free to go to our website and start there. The website is PRISM, that is PRISUM.org. And there you can find more information about the team, more information about what we're trying to do with the transportation world. And also, if you're interested, donating to the cause to help us get to Australia and help us build the next vehicle, which will be better than this one.
Okay. Hey, listen, if we can do anything for you here, if you guys want to keep us updated on your progress, we're always glad to have you back. You know, as you stumble across that next light bulb, we'd be honored if you'd consider us to help make America aware of it. So always feel free to reach out. And thanks for taking the time today. And happy motoring, I guess, would be the best way to end this.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. And maybe next time I could be calling you from Australia in the middle of the outback.
Well, you know what? Absolutely. Absolutely, positively, kiddo. We'd love to do that. And like I said, if we can do anything to help you and get you out in front of the right people, we're glad to do it. Feel free to reach out. Real quick, you guys must have a Facebook page, right?
Yeah, we do. If we once again, if you search PRISM Solar Car, so PRISUM Solar Car, you can find us on Facebook. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, so feel free to give us a shout-out, too, and feel free to see a couple photos of the car.
Cool beans. And it's PRISM, PRISUM.org is the website.
Yep.
Gotcha. All
well,
right,
thank
Matt,
you very much for having me on the show.
You're very welcome, sir. Thanks for taking the time today. Thank you very much. I'm Ron Ananey and the Car Doctor. I'll come back and we'll make some comments. I'm Ron Ananey and the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this.